This is the Michigan Travel Show. I'm Dave Lorenz, this week with Michael Hensley from the Blue Water Area CBB. If you're searching for a slower way to travel, a place to escape from the norm and soak in the richness of nature, along with the surprising coastal charm of small towns and friendly cities, you should thumb it along the 140-mile stretch of Lake Huron Coast in the Port Huron region. Dow Gardens in Midland is growing with a new welcome center and spring season favorite exhibits and experiences. Art in the Park returns to Port Huron, where the works of creators will again be on display during a three-day art and music festival along the St. Clair River. And at Coco Bella Bakery, the flavors are rich with memory, and every detail is baked with intention. We'll serve it up to you next on the Michigan Travel Show. There and welcome to the Michigan Travel Show. I'm Dave Lorenz, really happy to be back with you again this week as we discover all there is to discover out there in the wonderful world of travel in the great state of Michigan. And I'm also very happy to tell you that we have a guest host again this week. You know this voice, you've heard him before on this show. He's Michael Hensley. And Michael, I've actually lost track of your title, executive director.
I just make sure things happen. Yeah. That's
with the
Blue Water Area CVB. We cover Michigan's Thumb Coast from Algonac to Port Austin.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, Michael, we've known each other for a long time, and I'm really happy to see you in this position. You're already doing a great job. You've been there for about a year.
Two and a half, actually. So
time flies by.
Shows how much you pay attention to me. But that's fine. That's all right.
No, I'm paying attention. It's just that, you know, you get to a certain age where you lose track of all the things that's happening out there.
Anyway. Well, listen, Dave, thanks for having me. This is a great studio for all of you who are listening. They really decked it out here. The sconces are pure gold. There's a guy named Todd who is... No, I don't need any more champagne. Thank you. They're treating really, really well here.
The Michigan Travel Show studio... We do everything we have to have the best studio.
So well, it's surely working. Well, and thanks for having me.
So and the best co-host too. So we're gonna have a great show today. We have some great guests lined up, and to start the show today, I thought we would talk about what you're doing today and where you're working today, because it's a great area. That whole thumb region of the state, you know, for a while people didn't know much about it, but we need to make sure people know more about it. Let's kind of talk about it.
Yeah.
Why don't we start out with kind of like the southern edge of that region? Because you have how many miles of shoreline?
140 miles of coastline and three different bodies of water that we cover. Lake St. Clair, the very north part of that. So Harsons Island, Algonac, think all that area. The St. Clair River, which is a beautiful, beautiful, vibrant blue river on its own, and it's great for freighter watching and fishing and all sorts of different stuff. And then the big Lake Huron, which I am partial to Lake Huron. I've grown up in the Metro Detroit area. I've had family that's in the Thumb my whole life. So Lake Huron's always had a special place in my heart. So my biggest thing is I got to tell other people about it. And, you know, we have so many bodies of water in Michigan, and it's really a gambit on which one you want to go to each day. If you'd spent a week visiting seven different bodies of water, you would still have probably 15 years of travel left in you. So my job is just to say, hey, check out Lake St. Clair, check out the St. Clair River, and check out Lake Huron, and also all the towns and things to do along those shorelines.
Well, it's a huge area. And, you know, I'm from West Michigan, and, you know, people kind of stay in their regions quite often. So probably most of the travelers that come up to your area are probably from the Detroit area.
We see a lot from Detroit, but we're seeing more and more from around the state and other states as well. So we're seeing a lot come from the west side of Michigan. We're seeing folks coming from that Great Lakes Bay region. We're seeing folks coming from Lansing, Northern Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. So we're seeing folks from all over the Midwest and all over the country kind of getting to know Michigan's Thumb Coast and getting to understand all the great travel products that line that shoreline.
Well, and of course, for our Canadian listeners, and a lot of people listen on podcast as well, you know, I'm hoping our Canadian friends are still coming over. We keep on hearing that Canadians aren't traveling a lot these days, but please know you're still welcome over here, as we are, I know, welcome to visit over to your area as well.
And Dave, in that regard, you know, Port Huron and all these communities that kind of surround the Thumb Coast, we have a symbiotic relationship with our partners across the river. And to folks on the Thumb Coast, in Port Huron specifically, the border is accompanied by a river and a bridge, but to them it's just that, a river and a bridge that gets you to your neighbors across across the way.
Yep.
So for Canadians who are wondering, hey, can I get into Michigan and have a good time? Yes, you certainly can. And when you visit, we'll treat you as one of our own.
Well, let's kind of describe some of the communities up and down the coast, because you have like 12 communities or something.
Oh, yeah.
Start out kind of in the south, Algonac area.
Algonac is a boater's paradise. Pleasure boating, fishing, all sorts of different stuff. There are some great opportunities to get onto Harson's Island as well. And then we have so much to offer up and down the coast in that regard, too. But when you think about Algonac, think about Harson's Island, think about boating, all sorts of stuff.
Biggest town in the region?
Port Huron. And there's a lot of events happening in that area. For instance, we're going to talk about an art event later on, but there's another art event called Art Hop, and it's a week-long art event where you can see local artists and things. And then they're bringing a carnival back later on in June.
The most northern community in your region?
That's going to be Caseville, Port Austin. Beautiful beaches, Cheeseburger Festival, Little Chops, a very lake beachfront town, kind of that Montauk vibe in Michigan. So it's a great spot.
So we'll talk about, you know, the region throughout the show as we talk to our other guests. So stick around throughout the program. We'll be describing that whole region throughout today. And we have a bunch of other fun guests on today's program. So what's the website to find out more information about your region, Michael?
Yeah, if you visit thumbcoast.org, you're going to be able to see all of those 13 communities, all sorts of events. We have over 500 events on that website. So check it out if you're looking for something to do, a quick getaway or a week-long trip.
Yeah, I do want to ask you real quickly, because I know the probably the biggest event of the summer, Bayview to Mackinac boat race, huge. When does that happen?
It happens in July. This year it's going to be from July 15th to the 18th, a week long. It's a great, great party time.
It really is. Website one more time?
Thumbcoast.org.
Very good. We'll learn more about that entire region with Michael Hensley, our co-host on today's program. Lots of other really great guests, so stick around for the rest of the show today. We'll be back with those guests on the Michigan Travel Show. Of course, at this time of the year, everybody wants to head outside, and there's nothing like heading to a beautiful garden at this time of year. We get to do that next here on the Michigan Travel Show. I'm Dave Lorenz, along with our special guest host, Michael Hensley. And Michael, what garden is that going to be?
Well, it's going to be Dow Gardens.
I'm glad it's not my garden.
No, my garden is also dead.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
if anybody's showing up to my garden, you're not going to see much. But I can guarantee you, if you're going to Dow Gardens, you're going to see a whole lot. With us today is Carolyn Patton. She's the Director of Programming and Guest Services covering Dow Gardens. Carolyn, give us a little bit of a rundown of what Dow Gardens is, how big it is, what you can see, just a quick synopsis of what guests are going to experience when they walk through that visitor center.
Yeah, so our gardens is kind of a staple here, right in the middle of Michigan. So whether you're traveling up or traveling down through the state, we're a great pit stop. We are 110 acres of beautiful botanic garden featuring a really awesome forest and orchard, annuals, perennials, bridges, a waterfall. And we also have an historic estate home, which belonged to Herbert Dow, the founder of Dow Chemical. But what a lot of people don't know is that Herbert actually loved horticulture and apples in particular. And so his home estate grew into what is today beautiful Dow Gardens.
I was going to ask you how it came about. Is that basically why Dow Gardens came about, because of his love of horticulture?
Yeah, so Herbert acquired quite a bit of land throughout the course of his life. And today we sit at 110 acres, but his land and his estate, you know, he nurtured it while he was here. And then the Herbert H. and Grace A. Dow Foundation now fully funds us so that we get to be a gift in perpetuity to the community around us.
On top of the gardens and the beautiful orchards and everything, too, you guys are home to a pretty large structure that if folks didn't know what it was, they would think it's almost a roller coaster, but it's not, right? Can you tell us a little bit about the canopy walk?
Yeah, so we have the longest ADA accessible canopy walk in the whole nation, which is pretty incredible that it's right here in our backyards. And the canopy walk is quite the experience. You approach it, and as you said, Michael, it does look kind of like a roller coaster, but at a 5% incline, it gradually takes you up 40 foot into the trees. And there's different adventures once you're up there. You can choose your own path. There are three bridges, or three legs to it, if you will. And so one takes you up over a beautiful set of pine trees. There's one that takes you over Lake Margador, where the views are absolutely stunning in the fall. And one that overlooks our orchard with a glass platform 40 foot up in the sky. It's a unique perspective for sure. And the really cool thing about our canopy walk is it's for the whole family. Whether you've got little ones or you've got somebody in a wheelchair, everybody can get up into the trees and have that really awesome experience.
I love that you've thought about the accessibility and you can get up there in a wheelchair. And or if you just want to be able to walk up comfortably and slowly, you can do that as well. It really is beautiful. And the views from up there, really stunning. It's something special. Speaking about something special, even the welcome to Dow Gardens is special. It's getting more special pretty soon. You have a new welcome center coming on board.
We sure do. And, you know, that kind of goes back to Herbert and his personal garden that he started slowly welcoming people to. Today, we've grown to welcoming over 200,000 guests a year. And so we needed a new facility to do that in. And so coming online this June, we will be opening our brand new welcome center. And we really have thought about the art of welcome within this new space. And so we hope that people are excited to come see it. Within it, we are also opening a brand new changing spaces restroom, which is kind of an initiative here in Midland that they've all been gathering around. But basically, it's got an adult changing space in it. So if you have a family member who needs a facility, including like a hoist to change them in while you're on the road, we'll have one of those. We're moving our cafe over into that building. So if you want to grab a sandwich while you're here, you can do that. And we're also working on beautifully telling the story of our garden up in that space as well. And so we are so excited for people to come see the space and enjoy that welcome. And then obviously get out into the gardens afterwards. But we're super excited.
I want to break out in applause again, because again, you're thinking about accessibility. It's so great. I mean, I wish more of the travel industry would do that, but that's spectacular.
Well, and Carolyn, you focus so much on the welcome, right? Over 100 acres of things you can see and do at Dow Gardens. The welcome is a pivotal point. But when people get there, what are some of the things and programs that the staff and the team at Dow Gardens are doing to make a visit experience different every time you come to that welcome center?
Oh, I am so glad you asked. We really do want to make it different every time that you come and visit. And so this year we are super thrilled to share that we are bringing in dinosaurs around the world. And so for this summer only, May 19th through September 8th, we will have 10 animatronic dinosaurs throughout our landscape. And not only will we have these prehistoric creatures, which get people excited in general, but our plant enthusiasts can also be excited about the dinosaurs coming, because we are featuring plants that would have been around during the time of the dinosaurs. We are getting shipments of plants from all around the country and featuring things that you wouldn't normally be able to see at Dow Gardens, but for the summer we will have them, and it will make those dinosaurs look like they're in their natural habitat. And so it's going to be something like you've never seen before.
Well, I can't wait to experience that. I have a little one, and he's trying to figure out if he's into trucks or dinosaurs or space, and I think dinosaurs are winning. So when we take him there, that I think that's going to push him over the edge, Dave.
I was thinking the same thing, but I'm sure you will enjoy the dinosaurs more than him at this point. But
still, yeah, you got that right.
That's spectacular. So what are the dates of dinosaurs around the world?
Dinosaurs will be visiting us May 19th through September 8th, And so whether you're coming, you know, right at the beginning of your summer break or you're visiting us Labor Day weekend, those dinosaurs will be here to greet you.
Carolyn, I also want to talk a little bit about Dow Gardens' staple with the community in Midland. You mentioned it as it's kind of a gift back to that community, but there are so many different avenues that the Dow family has given back to the city of Midland and the Great Lakes Bay region as a whole. When you look at, you know, when you're there at Dow Gardens, you can also see the Alden B. Dow House, and he was a son of Herbert Dow that studied with Frank Lloyd Wright, and just the impact and the footprint that that Dow family has had. Can you talk a little bit about what it means to operate and work at a attraction and something that is meant to be a gift to visitors and residents?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's part of the reason why I've been here for 15 years. We are meeting guests when they walk through our door on really happy days. You know, the gift that we're providing is that people have a place to escape to where they don't have to think about the landscape. It is just beautiful, a place of connection, a place of memory making. I think that that's one of the most important things. When I talk to people, you know, out in the real world when I'm not at work, you know, they hear I work here and they all have a wonderful story to tell, whether they were here with their grandmother or prom photos or, you know, I came here in first grade in 1998 to see butterflies in bloom. And so I think the legacy that they've kind of pushed on has allowed people to create their own moments and their own pillars and connect back to the family in that way.
Oh, it's just a fantastic place. And of course, Dow Gardens is basically on the edge of downtown Midland. So people should go downtown as well, see that beautiful little town as well. Now you have some other great exhibits. You have Growing Gardeners in June. Can you quickly tell us about that?
Absolutely. So every year we have 84 families with the potential, we have 84 spots for families to sign up and they join us throughout the course of the summer to learn how to garden. And it is so neat to see the interaction between the little ones coming and whether it's their chaperone or a grandparent or a parent come with them. And each week we teach them together something new about the garden. So week one, we're planting and we're talking about why soil is important and why do plants need the sunshine and why do they need rain? Week two, we're talking about scarecrows and pests in your gardens. And so all the kids create a little scarecrow for their garden and it's super creative, fun. The kids just have an absolute blast. Week three, we're talking about, you know, pruning and getting those weeds out of there. And so they learn week through week. So they really are growing gardeners throughout the course of the summer in their knowledge. And then to see the satisfaction in their eyes when they get to take home a tomato or pick some green beans from their garden later in the season is really a special experience that we are so, you know, it's just kind of an honor to get to do that year after year.
It's fantastic. Starts June 9th. And I know you have Festival of the Senses on June 26th as well. There are so many other things. You need to check out their website for more details. DowGardens.org. We want to thank Carolyn Patton for being with us today. We're going to go to that art on the river that Michael talked about next on the Michigan Travel Show. Anyone who's listened to this program knows about my love of art and art festivals and festivals in general, because I believe that this state hosts more festivals than any other state in the country per capita. And if you doubt I'm accurate, you'll have to prove it. Go to Wikipedia. I don't think there's any way you can prove
there's
that.
There's a challenge for your listeners,
there you
Dave.
Go. I don't know how you'd prove I'm wrong. This is the Michigan Travel Show. I'm Dave Lorenz, along with our guest host, Michael Hensley. And Michael, we're going to go to an art festival next.
Well, you know, Port Huron is kind of the heart of Michigan's Thumb Coast, and they are really focusing on local art and local artists. There's a handful of different festivals. We're going to talk about one that's Art on the River. It's put on by Citizens of a Vibrant Community. With us is Trina. She kind of heads up that group and this festival. Trina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Can you give us just a little bit of a snapshot of what Art on the River is when people go to it?
Well, it's a three-day art and music festival. It features many local artists, crafters, bands, We've been doing this for 15 years, and it's on the banks of the St. Clair River in a park called Kiefer Park. It's family-friendly. It has art workshops and hands-on art. The Blue Water Art Association actually has a tent there, and they help kids create art while they're there. And then this year, we're adding in a student art tent, so kids from grades 7 through 12 can display their art and actually sell it if they'd like to. We usually have between 40 and 50 artists and crafters that are there the whole time. And then at night, we have bands, and they're usually blues bands, and they're pretty great, I gotta say.
So Art on the River is June 12th through 14th in Port Huron. And Trina, are the artists generally younger folks, students, or do you have artists of all ages represented?
Artists of all ages, actually. The Blue Water Art Association, they're a very diverse group. Some of them are in their 80s, and then they have younger people joining their group, and they display their art as well. We also have a featured artist every year, and this year we're going to have Jody Parman. And Jody is just an amazing artist in the area, and she's a big art advocate. So she's been working very hard to bring art to Port Huron for several years now. So we're excited to have her here this year. It's a very broad spectrum of people that come from the artists and crafters.
Well, I know that the focus on art in every community is so important. And when you look at the grand scheme of what brings visitors into an area, right, there's events, there's attractions, but people want to go to places that look nice, the places that focus on art and its influence into the area. Trina, can you tell us a little bit about how this event got started and, you know, where you're looking to take it in the future?
Well, my mother was an artist, and she always complained about the fact that there wasn't any place for, like, festivals to display the art. So years later, when I started this 501c3 nonprofit group that we have, we were trying to find something that we needed, that we could do for the community, because we wanted to make the community more vibrant. And we had been to a couple different workshops that the Community Foundation here in Port Huron had put on. And one of the things they said is groups need to step up and not expect government to do everything for them. So we decided to create a festival, and because my mom is an artist, I thought this would be a good way to do it. So we started very small. Like, we only had maybe 10 artists the very first year, but it grew from there, and over the last 15 years, it's really gotten a lot bigger.
Is this a competitive art festival, or is it more for demonstration and sales purposes?
More for demonstration and sales purposes. We don't like give awards or anything like that at this point, because we want the artists to feel like they're having fun. But we don't allow like vendors in either. Other vendors. It's just art and fine crafts.
Well, showcasing the local artists is such an important aspect of any real event, and having an event that does that and encourages kids, younger kids from our area, to get into this kind of stuff. It's a great little event that people can come and visit and see where the art scene is in Michigan Slum Coast and in Port Huron.
Well, that's our mission, is to get kids involved. We want the kids to be involved, and that's why we're adding on this extra thing with the student tent, is to allow them to show their art and let them display it and maybe sell it if they can.
We're talking to Trina Avedishian. She's president of Citizens for a Vibrant Community. And actually, they run Art on the River in Port Huron June 12th through 14th. And Trina, I was looking through your website, artontheriverph.com, and it looks like with your featured artist that you mentioned, it looks like you display artwork that they do each year. So you have some artwork from the past years that you have on display in various places around town, right?
Sure. Yep. We have, most of them are at the Port Huron Museum. You can view them there. There's two paintings right now that are hanging at Andy's Wine Bar, actually. He's got like two of them at his wine bar. And then there's one hanging in Country Style Market above their meat counter. They bought it because they loved it so much. So you can go there and see that as well.
That's awesome. Well, of course, people need to head down to the park, check it all out, June 12th through 14th. I personally love art and I love festivals, so be looking for me there as well. The website to find out more is artontheriverph.com. And we want to thank Trina Avedishian. Did you notice how I pronounced that name perfectly?
You are great, Dave.
I can't believe it.
That is an amazing feat.
Trina, did I get it right?
You got it right.
I can't believe it. Awesome. Yes. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Trina. President of Citizens for a Vibrant Community, for being with us today. Yeah, so I noticed how you didn't pronounce it at first, because you didn't want to take a chance.
Well, I know Trina personally.
Yes.
We're on a first-name basis.
There you go.
Dave, so Art on the River is a great festival. And, you know, springtime is a great blooming time to come to Port Huron specifically, but that's not the only art festival that's happening.
A lot of stuff.
Just before that is Art Hop, which mm-hmm. that is
yeah.
a competitive
yep.
art contest. They have an opening weekend, and that's coming up, and you can go to Art Hop Port Huron or arthoph.com.
I remember we talked about that last year, too. You know, your area is just so cool, and, you know, when we... had you on last time, you talked about the region, and we should mention you have so many cool towns along the way.
Yeah.
Tell us about some more of them, basically along the route.
Yeah. So let's head south of Port Huron. There's a town called St. Clair. That is a great little river town. There they have all sorts of live entertainment, talking about art, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got a outdoor amphitheater type pavilion thing, and there, a great name for that,
that's
right?
What it is.
They have live music 7 nights a week.
Mm.
In the summertime, they usually line up bands, you know, all week long, and you can go. There's a few restaurants you can go have a bite to eat. You can grab a great beer from Warwater Brewery, which is a local brewery. You can walk outside and go listen to some live music, and in the background of that is the St. Clair River. You can watch freighters and cruise ships go
yeah.
right by.
Isn't
as
great?
You're listening to live
we've
music.
We've done that before.
Yeah, it's great, and I think we've also stopped at Fowler's Ice Cream. I got to give them a plug.
Yeah. My gosh, is that good?
And it's ice cream season, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
Can't not mention it.
What a neat place.
Yeah, and just south of that is Marine City. Now, Marine City is another great spot for art, but think of live theater. There's two live theaters in downtown Marine City. There they have, you know, the Snug Theater, which is a great little intimate setting. There's probably 50 seats there, and they do some really great smaller shows. Then there's a Riverbank Theater that has really great productions. And then just north of that in St. Clair is the Boardwalk Theater that has like Broadway productions. So whether it's music, it's live theater, it's, you know, paintings or statues or all sorts of different art. If you're looking for an art-centric place, the Thumb Coast is it.
I think people would be surprised by that. You know, we've talked about the art in the area before when it comes to festivals, but you generally don't think of live theater in smaller towns, but you have actually quite a bit of it.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of live theater. There's Thumb Coast Theaters that owns those three theaters that I talked about. There's Interstage Right. They're a local group that puts on some pretty amazing shows. We've seen a few of them. McMorrin Event Place, they have a theater that does some really, really great productions as well. They're bringing in things from all over. So if it's an art-centered place that you want to visit, thumbcoast.org is your first stop.
It's beautiful. Of course, the big city in your region, Port Huron, always things happening there. I'm so impressed with Port Huron. It's a really great town. And summertime, things are just popping there. A lot of great things.
Yeah, Port Huron's a great town. It's a very vibrant urban center that is surrounded by some little quaint, quiet towns, as well as some great rural opportunities as well.
What's the website for people to find out more about your entire region?
Thumbcoast.org.
And of course, if you want to find out more about Art on the Park, artontheriverph.com. We're going to find out more about what's happening in Michigan this summer right here on the Michigan Travel Show. If there's one thing I really can't resist, it's really good bakery items, especially items that are kind of like a European style because that's really worth eating. We're going to talk about that next here on the Michigan Travel Show. I'm Dave Lorenz, along with our special guest host, Michael Hensley. And Michael, I understand this bakery we're going to talk about really specializes in kind of like European style bakery items.
Oh, yeah.
And you've never brought me there.
Well, it's just opened up, Dave. You don't come to visit me very often.
Okay.
I beg you. I can't text you every weekend. Well, come over, and you don't text me.
We need to check this place out.
Yeah.
We need to check it out.
I'm telling you, Dave, when you walk into the doors of this place, you are going to get transported to a European bakery. And on the line with us is Dan Brennan. He's the owner. He's the guy that kind of put the vision together. And he is on the line with us to tell us about Coco Bella's Bakery. Dan, how's it going?
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. The response has been overwhelming, to say the least. But and we're super excited to see where this thing goes, to say the least.
Well, if it's going any way that it has been, it's going to be going great places. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about what this bakery is and how you came up with the idea to open it in St. Clair, Michigan.
Sure. So, I'm a general contractor by trade. We do commercial building all over the country. And we acquired this property in 2020 during COVID. Wasn't really sure what we wanted to do with it, but we knew we wanted to you know, clean it up and transform it. It used to be the old town, the St. Clair hardware store, for many years. But prior to that, it was the granary. So it actually migrated from it started in the 30s and 40s as the St. Clair Granary. Then it migrated into a hardware store. You can actually understand why, because they would come to do their granary and then they would sell hardware as well. And then they phased out the granary side and ended up just being a hardware store. And it was a hardware store right up until, you know, I'd say 2013, around that. And then it shut down. And it was in really bad shape. Didn't look anything like it does now. So we knew we needed to do something with it. So we overhauled the front and we started looking for tenants, couldn't find anybody. And then somebody made a post on the St. Clair Facebook page. What businesses would you like to see come to St. Clair? And it was, I don't know, it's like 400 or 500 responses. And overwhelmingly 70-80% of the responses were, we'd love a bakery or some kind of a confectionery of some sort. We need that here. And it kind of stuck with me. It rolled around in my head, and I'm like, well, I can't find any tenants. What if we build this thing out for a bakery? So that's kind of where the idea really started. And we thought, you know what, why not? This is what we do. We can showcase of what West Haven Builders does and without any handcuffs. And when I say that, I mean,
yeah,
we do a lot of building for a lot of clients all over the country, but we build to what they want, and we don't ever get to build what we want. So for once we went, you know what, let's take off the handcuffs. Let's just pull out all the stops and see what happens. And, you know, that's kind of where that started. And then, you know, from an inspiration standpoint, once we knew bakery, we knew we wanted something. For me, I look for locations that transport me back in time. My lifestyle is fast paced. It's go, 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 go. And Mackinac Island is one of my favorite locations to go because it's an immersive experience that slows your life down on purpose. You don't have a choice. It just does it for you. So I always seek out locations or places that kind of create that same immersive experience. So when I started about designing the space, I wanted the space to kind of transport you the same way that I felt when I walked onto Mackinac Island or other places across the world. And then we just kind of just ran with that. And like, what it's all about what you feel, and it's all about what you see. It's all the senses. And that's where the design started. Then went from there.
Yeah. So basically your idea was to build it the way you wanted to and make it the way you felt your guest would want it made. And it sounds like, looking through your website, CocoBellasBakery.com, you really wanted to make it, you know, original, European style, organic. Tell us about that.
So it started because our chef. So once we knew we wanted to do a bakery, I reached out to a friend of mine who was a chef in Chicago. She's worked in 5-star restaurants across the country and across the world, actually. She was from Spain. She's only been here about 8 years. And I reached out to her, and we had talked, you know, sitting around the kitchen talking, you know, spitballing way back in the day, like, if I ever had my dream, it'd be a bakery. Well, that was kind of in the back of my head. So I gave her a call, and I'm like, hey, is this something you'd be interested in? She's like, yeah. So we drove down to Chicago, because she was in Chicago at the time, had a conversation with her, and convinced her and her husband to relocate up to St. Clair and open the bakery with us. So it started with, it kind of just, it fit really well with what I already had in my mind. Once we brought in her, it kind of just, it was the last final piece of the puzzle, because she has major European influence. And I was already designing a bakery that emulated a European style. Mm. From a design standpoint.
And let me tell you, your chef knocks it out of the park. I am a fluffy gentleman. I'm a little bit wider than I am taller. And your bakery certainly does not help that. When folks walk in, you know, people don't know, or maybe they don't understand what a European style bakery is. When I first walked into that place, it exactly did what you intended, transported me to somewhere that I have never been. I've never been to Europe, but I certainly think I know what it's all about now after being to Coco Bella's bakery. What are some of the treats that folks can experience as they walk in the door, and you know, what are your favorites?
So I don't actually, they're all my favorite, and believe it or not, I'm not a big foodie guy, but what I do enjoy is I enjoy watching the people that come in that have traveled around the world, and they look at us, and these comments flood in daily. This is the best croissant I've had since I've been in Paris or in France, and, you know, anywhere over in Europe. Like, we can't find this in the States.
Yeah.
And I've had people that lived in Europe their whole life, and they come to us and say, this is like I'm home. And those are kind of, for me, that's an amazing ability to transport somebody through food and space. It's very rewarding. But from the level of, you ask, we get everything from sweet and savory. The croissants that are made traditional with European style techniques. They're not what you would normally find here in the States. And it's amazing because everybody recognizes the difference.
You certainly don't need a U.S. passport to visit there. You can get your own Coco Bella's passport. That's pretty cool, Dave. I'm excited to take you there.
It's an incredible place. And as the website says, at Coco Bella's, it's more than just a bakery. It's a love letter to the past, served warm, one slice at a time. It looks really impressive. The website is CocoBella'sBakery.com. And Dan Brennan, thank you so much for being with us. Man, that I can't wait to be there. That looks really impressive.
We got to go when you're hungry, Dave, because
I know.
It's going to be a feat.
Well, speaking of having to go, we have to go pretty soon. So, Michael Hensley, thank you so much for being our guest host today. You know, we need to check out your area again. It was great that we were able to go to St. Clair and Port Huron, some other places today. One more little pitch for your area. Just tell us, give us a little thought of why we should head to your area this summer.
Well, let me tell you, it's a slowed down travel. Dan talked about it when he was talking about Coco Bella's Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
We are in such a hustle bustle all the time. We're so close to Metro Detroit. You can put your kids in the car, put on a Disney movie, and be in our destination before it's over. And as soon as you get out of that car, it is a slowed pace of life. It's like being on vacation all the time.
And people are looking for that these days, I think. It makes so much sense. Thank you so much as our guest host today. And folks, we're out of time. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Michigan Travel Show. I'm on-